Good afternoon to everyone. Today, we're going to start with talking about that righteous character that God is looking for. And then we're going to roll into the Bible study about God's rest and how the character development and all this stuff, how it's going to play into whether you'll be there. And so character is who we are. For God called us out of this world to be a model of change. Without this change, the character God seeks is above what is in this world. God's plan and his family, now keep this in mind, God's plan and his family will not accept us as we are of this world. Period. Mankind in this world and in how we view things and how we think about things has darkness wrapped around it. And so if we are going to be in the family of God, true light in every sense of the word that deals with us. Now take for a minute. He will stop and think that you're presenting yourself before God's throne. And he looks at you and he sees a shadow to your left. What is that shadow? The shadows in this world. The shadows are of Satan. And that's death. That will not stand before God. To begin, I'm going to give you a scenario here from a gentleman. He says, a number of years ago, the Douglas Aircraft Company was competing with Boeing to sell Eastern Airlines. Well, this has been a while. Any other big jets? War hero Eddie Rickenbacker, the head of Eastern Airlines at the time, reportedly told Donald Douglas that the specification and claims made by Douglas Company for the DC-8 were close. The Boeing's on everything except noise suppression. Rickenbacker then gave Douglas one last chance to out-promise Boeing on this feature. After consulting with his engineers, Douglas reported that he didn't feel he would make that promise. Rickenbacker then gave Douglas one last chance to out-promise Boeing on this feature. He says, I know you can't. I just wanted to see if you would still be honest about it. What would you have done if confronted with the possibility of losing that multi-million-dollar contract to a competitor? Would there have been pressure to lie or at least stretch the truth? Will we try to manipulate the information? Donald Douglas showed his character by telling the truth under pressure. Now, Chuck Swindoll, in his book Rise and Shine, makes the following observation. He says, Ministry is a character profession. To put it bluntly, you can sleep around and still practice and be a good brain surgeon. You can cheat on your mate and have little trouble continuing to practice law. Apparently, it is no problem to stay in politics and plagiarize. You can be a successful salesman, cheat on your income taxes, but he says, you cannot do these things as a Christian or a minister and continuing to enjoy God's blessings. You must do in order to have that right integrity. If you can't come to terms with evil or break habits that continue to bring reproach to the name of Christ, please, he says, do the Lord a favor and resign. Now, this is from a man that's not here among you. And he's talking about the things of the world and how this world works and how Satan has taken his tools and he has crafted you to a degree in everything that happens in this world. He goes on to say he is not saying that if you have a weakness as a Christian to quit the church and drop out. He's basically referring to the ministry as an example. But both a minister and non-ordained person should have true integrity. Now, that said, what about us? What's on our minds when it comes to the character of who you are? And when I read that little synopsis that I sent to you about what this message is all about, character is who you are. George Barner did a survey, and he wrote about the relationship of faith in other perspectives. He said, the survey pointed out that while most Americans still think of themselves as being highly spiritual, that view is not supported by other self-perception or behaviors evident in life. For instance, among the 59% of adults who describe themselves as full-time servants of God, of which only a few were clergy, a mere one quarter placed faith as its highest priority. Now, what do we hear each and every day in this country? We are a nation of faith. This is a Christian nation, right? Just tune in to CNBC during the week and look at that scoundrel channel. Scoundrels. About a way of life of swindling, lying, taking. But yet, men will stand and say, this is a Christian nation. But you look at what goes along with that. You have some with Christian principles. But as Mr. Barner here is pointing out, one quarter place faith as the highest priority. Don't care. Wing it day by day. And he goes on to say spirituality is in vogue in our society today. It's popular to claim to be part of a faith community or have a spiritual commitment. But what do Americans mean when they claim to be spiritual? He goes on to say a past Grammy Awards were perhaps indicative of this breakdown between self-perception and reality. The members of the group that won the award for best song thanked God for the victory, then immediately followed with profanities that had to be bleeped from the broadcast. We thank you, God. And here they go. And you stop and you think about, where are we? What are we doing? Where's the character? It seems that if God is in, but living for God is not. Many Americans are living a dual life. One filled with good feelings about God and faith, corroborated by some simple religious practices. And another in which they believe they're in control of their destiny and operate apart from Him. And he goes on and talks about soft Christianity. You know, this plays into how Satan has taken this country and this world and wrapped it into his image. Purely. Now, going back to when I said, when I gave the example of you presenting yourself before God, and he looks at you and he sees a shadow. No, that won't happen. That will not happen. Bad character and the things of this world will stay here in this world. And so we have a daunting task ahead of us. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Because we too fall subject to these things. Take your car. Take your personal little sphere that you drive in, that you're by yourself. And I'll admit to it, rant and rave about people who can't defend themselves. That's you in the dark. That's you slandering, maybe, your brethren who you don't like, but yet where you see that, oh, they'll smile on your face and say, oh, you're a good guy. No, that won't play. God sees you in the dark. Everything is naked to him. Keep that in mind. Everything is naked. So this is why we bring ourselves to this point in time as we head toward the Passover. And you take that bread and you drink that wine and you wash the feet of your brethren who you don't like. These things come into play. You cannot hide that. You cannot hide. And so we have to do a check. Are we of the world? Or are we of God? Think about it. This is not a game. Look around you. Things are coming to a head. Things are coming to a head. It's talking about the ladies with the oil. Half who had it and half who did not. Oh, give me at the last minute. Don't work that way. Don't work that way. And so God wants us to be of character. Character that's going to exemplify his family. What is character? How do you develop it? What kind of character do you need to get into God's kingdom? We all know people who have strong character. They live by a definite standard and values. Now, many Muslims are willing to die for their faith. But do they possess the character God is looking for? Many call themselves Christians or spiritual and have definite values and beliefs. Is this the character God is looking for? There is no more important question to consider as we approach Passover season. We need to examine ourselves, our values, and our commitment to live by God's law. We made a covenant with God at baptism. Will we keep it or will we break it? And how many times will we go before God by breaking that vow? How many times will he let us on this earth breathe to change? And we'll get into more on that in the Bible study when we talk about God's rest. How long will he give us to walk on this earth disregarding the things they would have us to do? What is he looking for in his people, in the church? Remember the old saying, if you don't know what you're looking for, You won't know when you find it. If you don't know, you will never know what you will find. What is that holy, righteous character? In Hebrews 1 and verse 3, it talks about an express image. An express image. It's an instrument for use for engraving or carving. The image of a person or thing. Marked likeness. Precise reproduction. The words express image are translated character. C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R. This word was used in the classical Greek as an engraver. One who mints coins. A graving tool, a die, a stamp, branding iron. A marked engraver, impression. Metaphorically, it means a distinctive mark or a token impressed upon a person or thing. Character. And by this, it is known from others. Different. William Barclay writes, he says that he was the character of God's very essence. In Greek, character means two things. First, a seal. Second, the impression that the seal leaves on the wax. The impression had the exact form of the seal. So when the writer of Hebrews said that Jesus was the character of the being of God, he meant that he was the exact image of God. Just as when you look at that impression, you see exactly what the seal is made of and what it's like. And when you look at Jesus Christ, you see exactly what God is like. In verse 3, he goes on to say, he is a radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the words of his power. After making purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. The sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of majesty in heaven. See, Jesus Christ came to the earth to reveal the Father, to reveal to humanity what God was like and how God would live among men. Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do we show by our action what God is like? Think about your character, your makeup. Is it the true stamp of God? Is it the true stamp? Do we show by our action the things that are not God? Can people say, if they've seen us, they've seen the Father? Can they say that about you and me? What is holy, righteous character? Herbert Armstrong used to write extensively on this. We've gotten away from that focus a little bit, talking about our character. It is that controlled ability in a separate, independent entity to come to a right knowledge of the true from the false, the right from the wrong, and by free choice to choose the right and the true, and further to use self-discipline to will and to actually do the right, compromising situations. I do remember in my working days, when you deal with law enforcement, character is the utmost that any law enforcement officer should have, especially enforcing the laws and then having to go to court. And I've known a few who became persona non grata because they were not candid and they were never used again. Meaning, did not tell the truth. Notice some of the components of a right character. Right knowledge, to begin with, from true from false. Much of Christianity today is based upon false knowledge and tradition. When God calls you, He reveals how He wants you to live. Ten Commandments, food laws. God tells us what is right. We don't decide right from wrong. God does. We have to make a choice. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 through 16, here it talks about we have to choose. We have to choose. Do we obey God? Or do we follow our own lusts in this world, in this culture? Or do we follow the spiritual law of God? We are told today there are no absolutes, no standards. What is truth? Men scream. My truth can be different from yours. We have to make a choice. We have to have values. We have to have standards that God puts into our lives. Disregard them, you become part of the world. To refresh our memory on the choices we made at baptism, some forgot the commitments. Matthew 10, verse 34. And down through 34 through 39, it talks about God comes first above all. Not our own. Some put family. Some put friendship and relationship before God. More important, they set aside what God's desires are. Because it's always come down to I want. I want. This is a roadblock to being anywhere near Jesus Christ or God the Father. And if you don't believe that, keep doing it. And when Christ returns, He says, I don't know you. You get your answer. Some men think it's funny the things they do. God is not mocked. He sees and he knows who his servants are. He sees what they do in the dark. He knows who they are in the dark. And this is why I stand here before you to do everything in my power as a human being, as a man, as I stand before Jesus Christ and you before me, to give you the opportunity to help you with your joy and the tools that God will give you to become a family. But if we disobey and we mock and disregard, that's on you. And so as we get ready to enter Passover season, this is critical time. Critical mass. Now, I do remember people who were in school. I've done it. You got a test coming up. Oh, I'll start studying 2 days before. And then 2 days before shows up, and guess what? Your world blows up, and you didn't get a chance to study. Here it is, test day. You're sweating bullets, and you're hoping you remember something. Did I do it? We're in a classroom here, right now. Did I do it? Did I work on the things that I told God I was going to do, and here I am, Passover is 2 weeks away or more, and you're trying to do a rush job? It doesn't work. Consistent, diligent, keeping your head down and grinding in this way of life. There's no shortcuts. God the Father made sure of that. There are no shortcuts. He will not just reach down and touch you and you're complete. Taking a man and a woman. Marriage. Here, you have two lives that have they've come to a confluence in their lives and they become one river. And some never become one river. You have two rivers, you have no confluence. And so, God the Father uses a man and a woman in marriage in its physical sense to show what it is like to bring those differences together. Left brain, right brain. Make it work. Because you believe in a process and you believe in that person that's sitting there next to you. This is what God wants for us. We must be doers. It's not enough to be thinking good thoughts. Good thoughts are just not going to get us there. You got to do something with it. You got to put it into action. And so when you're in your bubble, and you're going down Highway 95 out here, everything is just fine. And here this guy comes right up on your bumper. He's got to be doing another 60 miles more than what you're doing. And he runs right up on you. Scares you to death. And then he's just weaving behind you. Then all of a sudden, he moves to your left. Then he tries to run you off the road. What's going through your head? What is it? What is it? Is it, oh God, please, let him have all the space he needs so he can move around me? Or we'll go back to that Grammy winner who said, I love God, and then goes and tears into an explicative. They have to bleep every word. Character building. Character building is every step of the way for us. Everything we do, everywhere we go. It is about us and our lack of patience, even with our own wives and husband and wives. We know. But do we do it? That's a different story. We will reap what we sow. And if you sow bad habits, ungodly character, that'll be you. And you would say, oh God, Jesus Christ, I did all these good things while I was alive. I did this, I fed the poor and the hungry. But should Christ say any more? Because God put it in his hands to judge us. God will not judge us. Jesus Christ will judge you. It says, sorry, it's not enough. Well, where did I go wrong? What was that word you just used? Where did I go wrong? You see, as a family, we have to become we. We have to help each other. And that's the character building process by which we look to God to help us in this endeavor. And so we ask God, please be mindful of me, that I can continue to do the things which are pleasing in your sight. If you turn to Romans 7, and it talks about the law of God and the struggle we have in developing his character. In verse 12 it says, therefore the law is holy, the commandments holy, just and good. Do we view that? We're dealing with a spiritual law. And in verse 8 and verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity, total roadblock, totally against God, not subject to the law. Satan is not subject to the law or anything of God. And so we make the choice. You want to be like him, or you want to be in the God family? God won't make you, because if he have to drag you kicking and screaming, guess what happens? You bring the things of the world with you. And that's not going to happen. Passover is critical. It is critical. And I will say it probably until I draw my last breath. Every Passover since I was baptized has just been harder. And harder. And you would think, I got a handle on this. No, you don't. And it's specifically this way because God wants to know. He don't want any talkers. Because God knows that as human beings, we can't see another man's heart. But he sees and hears everything. He knows you. He made you. And so God talks about taking that Passover unworthily. What does that mean? What does that mean? Bad character traits that you did not work on or you refused to work on. How long would God allow us to draw breath to correct this? And our prayer should be every single day we get out of bed, thank you, Father, for another day of change. Another day of breath to change. I messed up yesterday and it's gone. But I have another day today. The spiritual law of God defines the right way. God's character traveled in the direction of his law, the way of love. It is ongoing concern for others. And if you're busy running down your brother, that's not concern. That's another matter. But God has character. He has an ongoing concern for you. And by you being alive and sitting in this room today is a testament to that. He's concerned about you. He has a place for you in his kingdom. Only you can fit that place. He gave us his only begotten Son to reconcile us to him and to make the joys of his character and everlasting life possible for us. John 3:16. The likeness of God is what we seek. Character is the one thing that we make in this world and take with us to the next. Remember that. Character is what you make in this world. And you carry it into the next. The circumstances amid which you live determine your reputation. I've known a lot of men who hid their reputations. But it all bubbles to the top. The truth you believe determines your character. Holy, righteous character. That is developed only through experience. You have to live it. You have to fall down and get up. And ask God at every waking moment, help. A good friend of mine, Joe Horchak, he said, I just simply get up in the morning and I just say, help. Need to say no anything anymore. Help. God knows. He wants us to be in his family. He wants us to do the right things. He wants the right character building. He wants those building blocks that you build each and every day to be firm and to be solid. And we have to have these experiences. And so God created time. And he creates the circumstances which produce character. Mr. Armstrong used to say that quite a bit. Well, what do we think about this character. And then some will say in a funny way, yeah, he's a character, all right. He's a character. But God laughs with us. And a lot of times the things that we do are not funny, and he's not laughing with us. And he tells us, get on your knees and come before my throne. Jesus Christ, the blood he spilled is why we can do this. So why should we throw away this wonderful opportunity? Wonderful opportunity. First fruits that God will bring from this existence. We must continue to love God in his way. We must have the integrity, a state of mind which stood the test. Now you think about the tempests in your life, the storms that have come to you over the years, some more traumatic than others. But how did you weather when you think about it now? Am I stronger? And some says, I cannot live this way anymore, and they walk away. And they blame God that he did not do enough. He did not give you strength enough. He did not strengthen your child, who's no longer here. The Apostle Paul talks about fortitude that produces character. And through that character, we develop patience, strength to trust. Now, here's the key. Would you, say, for instance, go to Phoenix and go downtown and in some miraculous way, God would tell you to jump out the 70th story? Would you jump? Tragedy. 9/11. They actually showed people jumping. It was over 100 floors up. And the fire was raging. And they jumped. And people said, what is that noise I'm hearing? Whap, 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 whap. And they look up. And it's people jumping out of these buildings. But then Satan tried to bait Christ. He said, God has his angels around you. He won't allow you to stub your toe. Just jump off this cliff. He'll lift you up. We don't do things to tempt God. Satan's crafty. He knows how to push the button. And I do remember years ago, right out here on this highway here, we were coming back. Guy cut me off. He cut me off. I was in my little cocoon. Nobody can hear me. They can't see me, except my wife and God. And when that happened, I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she said, you handle that well. You handle that well. I do remember as a young man, I had no patience. And I proved that to her right off the bat. They used to have these little things here in town where you could go and they'd bring all the electronics, you know, and stuff. But you get there and they've got a line a mile long. So I'm still standing in line and I'm griping every step of the way. There won't be anything left. Look at all these people out here. Calm down. I just kept on talking. And so we get inside. Finally, the room is full. This don't make any sense. How many people? There's about 1,000 people in front of me. This room is full. Producing the endurance of our character. To learn, to know this, and to begin to change it. I've seen older people that's in this town with no patience. And they show it. And I tell my wife, you know, this didn't happen overnight. This is a lifelong process right here that you're looking at. It does not happen overnight. They perfected it by being impatient. Different kind of character building. And so we want to begin to build character. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. It says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, stones, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." So if you don't know what sort it is, you'll find out. "If anyone work," verse 14, "which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward." Now, it's talking about right character here, not the other stuff. Character that will be endured, that will endure, and it will be tried. Many have not withstood the test and have fallen away. "Oh, I don't want to do it. Oh, why did God call me now?" I met a man like that years ago. "Why did God call me now? There's so many things I could be doing right now. Making money. Playing golf. Forget about the Sabbath. You know, I can pick that up later." But it's interesting that men want what they want. God puts us to the test to see what type of character we have. And when you're in your little cocoon, think about hearing in your head, "Now, was that right? Have we learned anything today? Did we change anything from last year? Oh, will you be at Passover this year?" God wants to know. We must make right choices. Character is made in small moments. Small moments, not overnight. Character may be manifested in the great moments, but it is made in the small. At great moments, men show themselves as they wish to be seen. In small matters, as they are. Because you will notice, and it happens all the time, we try to do something that's not there, and it blows up, and there you are, naked. Before everybody. Trying to live the dream. Living who you're not. And we look at Jesus Christ and how he was perfected. Hebrews 5. And we'll read in verse 7 through 9. Hebrews 5, verse 7. It says, who in the day of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he is a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, you stop and you think Christ needed to learn anything? As a human being, yes. As standing before at God's right hand while he was in heaven, no. And having been perfected, verse 9, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's where we come in. Are we able to talk the talk if we've not walked the walk? We can speak it. You know, in the South where I grew up, they had these little parrot babies. Little 3 and 4 year old kids. Little suits cut just right. And they're preaching. And they're on a table. Preaching fire and brimstone. Take this book and know it from one end to the other. Parrot. In an instant like that, I would rather know nothing and let God lead me than know everything and do nothing. God wants us to be fully dependent on him. And this is how your change comes. Not being little Johnny, who you're walking down the street and you say, give me your hand. No, I'll hold my own hand. And be dependent upon God the Father, because he is our Father. He has made us. And he wants us to be in a place when we are mature that we'll stand with him and be in his family. He wants dearly for that to happen. Christ matured spiritually as God in the flesh. He had to resist temptation. So now, once spiritually begotten, we are merely a spiritual embryo. Now we must be fed and nourished on spiritual food. Jesus said, man shall not live by physical bread alone, but by every word of God. The spiritual food. This we drink in from the Bible. But we drink in his spiritual knowledge and character also through personal, intimate, and continuous contact with God through prayer and through our fellowship with one another. Because if we fail the fellowship test here, it certainly is not going to work any place else, not in God's family. So we cannot fail the fellowship test. Now, the physical embryo in the fetus is fed physically through the mother. God's church, which is called Jerusalem above, is the mother of us all. See that in Galatians 4:26. The mother of us all. Holy, righteous, godly character can only be developed if the Spirit of God dwells in us. If we continue at any point to block it out or block its influence in our lives, then that's our loss. God gave it to us to help us. God looks down and he wants to see himself in us. And we thank him for the time and the effort that he's put within us to help us become Christians. Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Character is the possession and practice of love, patience, mercy, faith, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-restraint, and right self-direction. Character involves knowledge, wisdom, ability, all properly controlled and developed. And through independent choice, you are a free moral agent. You make the choice. You make the decision. And this is why Bible study is so important, essential to our development, because we must become mature. Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14. We must mature. We cannot stay an embryo or a baby. In verse 13, it talks about being inexperienced, lacking experience, unskilled. And we must continue to thank God for opportunities that he's brought to us. So how does God work with us? He does, and he expands us. He stretches us at times by putting us in situations and giving us challenges to resolve that normally on or our own, or we would have no idea how to approach. With his guidance only, with his help, he's teaching us how to learn, how to develop godly character, how to think and to function. Respond and react the way he does. The way the God family responds. We're learning to live just like Jesus Christ. And it's a choice. It's a choice we make. So what is that perfect character of God? What's he looking for? That perfect character such as God creates in us, and that we will finally become immortal. No one will be given eternal life until they have developed that righteous, godly character. God must know that we choose his way forever. He will give us a spirit body, and that is not subject to lust and the pride of the flesh. Our job now is to develop that spiritual character in our minds, to hate sin in the evil way, love God and his law in the way of love. God gives us the power and the strength to go his way. We will not be sinless in this life, but we must be maturing, going on to perfection. God has made it possible for us to be in his family by living in us and giving us the power to overcome. So, brethren, let us put character development at the top of our list as we approach the Passover with this question: how do you stand?